From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. It's been a minute, but we're back, right? Better late than never. The domain was down for a minute and the website was out, so thank you to those who let me know, because I don't regularly check the front end of the website. So thank you for that. I guess my name is Sarah, Sarah Gomez, if you are just new to Trapping Radio, and just thought I'd introduce myself. So what's been going on? It is freezing cold here, and we are buried in snow in northern Michigan. We made it back from Iowa to Michigan to work in the bait and lure shop for a minute. So, but yeah, just coming off of Thanksgiving and Black Friday, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that had ordered on SheTrap's website. We had an overwhelming number of orders, and I could not be more thankful for all of you that have placed orders on there, not just this past weekend, but in general. I'm just so appreciative of the orders, and to have my sister involved in shipping them all out really is just extra special, that she packages them all up, and I was home, and we got to all package them together, and we had a fun time. Even though she's not 100% set up, I get it, you know, it doesn't matter at sometimes. You just got to go with it and do what you can to make the best of it. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for that.
And they even got me involved. They let me pick out the gift, the little gift to send out as a thank you. Mm-hmm. So if you got the key ring or chain or the magnet, That was my choice.
Well, and before you, everybody got ornaments.
I didn't get to pick out any ornaments.
There's more ornaments coming, but I've already seen people send me pictures of ornaments on their tree, which really, that's pretty cool. So, yeah, you get a free gift if you order on SheTraps.
Yeah.
But, well, welcome to the show, Jeff.
Well, thanks for having me.
Jeff is our special guest for the evening. Yep. So we'll get into that, but what's been going on with Dunlap Lures?
Well, we don't sell any lure on Dunlap Lures. We're, you know, thinking about starting to put up some, you know, the bigger, like, big pile pints.
On the website is what you're talking about specifically.
On dunlaplures.com. And the reason we never sold lures on there was because it's hard to ship everything out and be a, you know, and take care of people the way they should when they order from you. So I would, you know, rather go trapping and, you know, not get the retail money out of it, and let somebody else get that. And plus, a lot of the dealers, they like that, where you don't sell your own product online. So, you know, it's kind of beneficial that way. But yeah, we still sell quite a bit of hoodies and, you know, merchandise and stuff. You know, we don't have the, like, we came out with the Black Widow one-handed setters, which are very popular. They fit, you know, the 550s, and the yellow ones do. You know, basically number two size traps. Then we got the green ones that, fit the MB750. And number three size traps, you know, stuff like that. And it gives a description on it. But those are all sold on cheetraps.com. And, you know, we still get a lot of traffic on Dunlap Lures. And, you know, a lot of people are probably looking to buy lures. And that's what we're doing back here is, getting F&T all stocked back up because they're our distributor and send out to the other wholesalers. And, people are always asking, how do you go and trap so much and have all the lures? Do you have somebody else do it? We have one 16-year-old girl that works for us. Other than that, me and Sarah, as far as the bottling and lures, do it all ourselves. It's just, this is our life. Some days you put in long days, and some days, you get to go, with the lures, and some days you get to go, trapping. And, if we can get, a lot of times F&T's really been good to us on ordering stuff ahead, where we can go out of state for a week or 2 weeks, on a trapping trip. And, so it's, sometimes I'm amazed myself how the stuff gets done. I'll start looking at the pile of stuff we got to do, and I'll be like, we can't get this all done. And Sarah said, we can get it all done. And I'll be like, there ain't no way in hell we're getting all this done. And she's always right. We always get it done. Mm-hmm. But that's how you eat elephant, one bite at a time.
Mm-hmm. Some days we smell like rotted meat and Soul Taker and Hellfire, and other days we smell like Coon Bomb and DP sauce and
This morning I was, doing up Rage, and smelled like Rage from head to toe, and I had to go in and take a shower because I had to deliver it to F&T and I didn't want to go in there.
And then I did Dirt Nap.
Yeah. And then you went and took a shower. And tomorrow's Skunk Day, so.
Mm-hmm. What about Predator Control Group? Going well, I think.
It's going well. Mm-hmm. I think it's going well.
We've sold a lot of Coon Collector this early season.
Yep.
That's been a great product to use. And
yep, I really like that product, especially with the, you put the mist on. And what you want is something to get them coon to stop, and, that definitely works to get them to stop.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you haven't checked out the Predator Control Group website, we have all the lures available in 1 ounce and 4 ounce. So Clint had it all in 2 ounce and some in 4, and this and that is all confusing. So all the lures are in 1 ounce and 4 ounce. So if there's a lure that you've been wanting to try that was just in 4 ounce, it's available in 1 ounce. And we have a lot of new lures like Red Fox, mink lure, muskrat lure, weasel lure,
Fisher Martin.
Yep, Fisher Martin.
And it was like the Fisher and Martin ones. Clint had the recipe for them for a long time and just didn't want to come out with them. And the reason that we went with the 1 and the 4s was on Predator Control Group is that is in the East it's the industry standard. A lot of people want to spend $7 instead of $13 or $14 to try a lure, and so it's just business sense wise, it made more sense to go with 1 and 4. And Quinn said the only reason he didn't go with 1 and 4 is he was too lazy to put them all into 1 ounce. So that's what he said why he didn't ever do it. So.
Well, I think talking about bait and lure rolls right into the topic of the evening, which I'm really excited to interview you, Mr. Jeff Dunlap.
Yeah.
Owner of Dunlap Lures.
Co-owner.
Been in this business for so long. So tonight's topic is about baits and lures and what the difference is between them and all the things involving them. So let's start off with what is the difference between baits and lures?
A bait is a food source that they want to eat. If they won't eat it or they don't want to eat it, then it's not a bait. It's a lure. It might be in a bait container, but then you buy it as a bait. But if they won't eat it, it's a lure. For the most part. You got lures that are food, and people ask, in that same setup, People ask, well, what is the difference between a bait and a food lure? A food lure is, can be multiple different reasons why it's a food lure and that was never made into a bait. Number one, the ingredients for that lure was so expensive that you can't put it into a bait because the, you know, I mean, per ounce, a bait is way cheaper than buying a lure. So you just can't afford to put it in a 16 ounce container and sell it for, you know, in like you guys will go buy it for, you know, say like Soul Taker for $14. But if you're going to wholesale any of this stuff, you're not getting, you know, $14 out of, you know, all the people that handle your product. You're selling it for lesser. So, you know, you can't afford to put it into, you know, a bait. It has to go into a lure form. That would be one reason, because of expenses put in the product. The second reason would be they won't eat it. Like we started this off, if they won't eat it, let's use shellfish, for example. You make a bait out of shellfish. Let's say the coyote won't eat it. It's not a bait, you know, so that would be like a food lure. You know, anything you would put in it that would make them not want to eat it or, you know, would taste bad to them, it would be, you know, like a food lure.
Mm-hmm. Or something that they may eat, but the quantity of in which they would eat that particular thing is very small.
Yeah.
Versus a lot of the baits are a meat base, which the animal is going to eat a lot of meat.
Mm-hmm.
Versus a specific ingredient in a food lure is going to be way more concentrated, way more a smaller substance that they would eat. I don't know if that makes sense as well, but so speaking of meat baits, kind of what are the different meats or how do they vary from fresh meat to tainted meat to a specific meat like mouse meat or things like that?
It's pretty much with each individual lure and bait maker, you know, where they go. You know, it's like you know, Soul Taker is rotted down for 2+ years. You know, where in Rage is, you know, less than that, but rotted down for a long period of time. You know, so it's going to depend on the reaction that you're trying to get out of the animals. You know, I'm trying to draw a thought on it. It's like with mouse meat, the reaction you're trying to get is a real mellow, you know, I mean, they are going and eating, you know, the mice all summer long. You know, a lot of times out in the fields, you'll see them where they're jumping and hunting the mice out in the fields, you know, and that's what they're on. And a lot of times that's what I'll use early, you know, in like a flat set, a dirt hole, something like that, because that's the food base they're on. When you get later on, you know, when it starts getting more in the further in the fall, you know, I like to switch over to like Soul Taker, you know, Rage, something like that with a, you know, a little bit more pop. And, you know, people will say with a bait, well, you know, or with skunk, you know, especially being in a bait or a lure, well, I don't use it early, you know, because it repels them, you know, everything from the skunk. But the thing is I'm not saying that there's not any coyotes out there that aren't repelled, but the biggest majority of them will come in there, and if you take your skunk out of your trap and you come back, generally there's coyote tracks there where them coyotes drug that skunk off, you know. So that's where it's with each individual trapper, what they get put in their mind, or the bait and lure maker, you know. So but the difference baits are range all over from, you know, really really mellow mouse where you just ground the mice up and put a preservative in there, and then, you know, like we put a fixative in there to hold it together and keep the moisture in, because a lot of times with the mouse meat it dries out very quickly because it's real thin, you know. And we even grind our mice up we grind them up with the guts, the head, the tail, everything goes in there just like that coyote would find them. And, you know, so you got from that extreme all the way to the, you know, next one would be like, you know, a fresh, if you're going to use like muskrat, beaver, anything like that, you know, and it was fresh. And then you would go into tainted, and then you'd go to more tainted, and then, you know, then you're in, you know, more into the rotten. And then the, you know, farthest one would be where it's just liquefied in a barrel. You know, so, you know, I mean, there's some stuff with it that I do with like Soul Taker and stuff that I would, you know, I wish I could talk about why it works. And, but the next thing is there'd be five other people saying they do the same thing. And I've never heard anybody say that before. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you got to have some secrets.
Right.
Not between us, but, you know.
So, thinking for the newer trappers out there, we've kind of covered the difference between bait and lure, but how would you specifically use a bait?
I like to use a bait, say, I'm a big, double dirt hole guy. I like, and I, what I do is I put like a bait down one and then like a lure down the other one. And what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna make my hole deep enough where they can't get it easily, because I want them to pass over that trap multiple times. Because a lot of times as trappers, you come there and you got a coyote or a fox or a bobcat, you know, you think that when, as soon as they walked up to your set, you caught them. But generally, that's probably not the case. You know, they've made multiple steps around your set. So if they're interested in what you are presenting, the more steps you get them to step around in that trap pan area, the better off you're going to be. But I use that in the double dirt holes, a bait in that. In a flat set, I'll use, in a flat set, I'll use bait under the, like a rock, or a log or something like that, and then put a little bit of gland up on it. You know, that's the thing is you're trying to present it like some other animal caught something and put it there, and then they're going to grab it and run off with it. And that's like a dirt hole set. When you're making a dirt hole set, a lot of beginner trappers don't realize that just a simple dirt hole set is you're recreating where something caught something, ate it, and they're going to hide it or regurgitate it. And then they dig out the hole, and then they'll, just like your dog would, and then they put it in a hole, and then they take their nose and, you know, push it back in. And, you know, that's what you are trying to recreate, that where the animal that is coming along that you're trying to catch thinks that's what went on, and they're going to go up there and steal another predator's meal that they have hidden, you know. And, you know, so it doesn't matter. It matters. You know, the concept is that, and then you're picking the bait to put down in that hole. And, you know, it's basically the, you know, you trust when you're buying the bait and stuff, you know, do you trust the person that whose bait you're buying? I mean, that's, you know, when you're buying it, do you trust, you know, the bait that they're selling? Or that's, I mean, you get some people to say, well, I don't use bait because I catch too many possums. The thing is I'm very seldom do I. I mean, you're there. I mean, I don't put in very many sets I don't use bait, and I don't catch tons of possums. And the thing is if you use like a food lure, I mean, they're
a predator as well. I mean, that's what you're after is a predator. And, you know, they don't read the sign that says this is for coyotes only.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we're just happy to have the catch.
Yeah, catch is a catch. Except for when we put in like a really nice cat cubby set or something, and then you get there.
Then you get a possum.
And then you get a possum or a coon, and it's all tore up and it looks like crap.
Maybe talk about a grab and die. Like, where did that originate from, and what is that, and how do you use that with bait?
Well, one other thing on the bait, and then I'll answer that. You'll see some people will say, I just take a chunk of meat, and I, you know, take a piece of meat and I throw it down in there in the hole, and that's all you got to do, and you'll catch everyone. First of all, you're not going to catch everyone. You know, their memory plays tricks on them of what they did years ago, for one. You know, and number two, the thing is, you take a piece of raw meat, throw it down in a hole. How are you going to recreate that? Because you don't know at what point was that attractive to the animal where they came in. You know, whether you're making the stuff yourself or you're buying it off somebody else, it's immaterial. It's when you just throw a piece of meat in a hole, you don't know, was it tainted? Was it rotted? What smells was coming off of it? I mean, so you caught something, but you don't know exactly if you can recreate that same thing again, you know, repeatedly, time and time and time and time again. But as far as like, the catch and die, you know, the grab and die is they used to have, the feds still use them. And I think some private people that I'm not sure on, but, you know, the M44s where what they would do is they'd have a thing stuck in the ground, and on top of it, there would be something that you'd put some bait on. And then when that coyote came up there, and they used them for animal damage control, and when that coyote came up and grabbed that top of that M44 and pulled it, you know, to run off with the bait, it would spray cyanide in their mouth and in their face, and it would kill the coyote or anything that grabbed that thing. So having that where it works, I'm as a fur trapper, I'm not out using M44s, but the concept is still remains the same. Or even if you don't like the concept of them doing that, you can get something that they'll come up and grab it. You can still use that to your advantage as just a regular trapper. And what we'll do is we'll take like a dowel, a small dowel, maybe 5-6 inches long, or we use sticks a lot of times, tape some sheep's wool, wrap it around the end of the dowel or the stick, and then what we'll do is we'll look, and a lot of times I'll take it right in Rage or Soul Taker, and I'll dip that dip that sheep's wool right in there, and then I'll place it back in like some weeds, maybe just where they can't visually, you know, see it real well, maybe a little bit. And then, you know, and the thing is if you can't have exposed bait and you're worried about that, my thing is once I put that on there, I always figure that's a lure, not a bait. You know, I mean, if you can't have exposed bait in your area, you know, and you're worried about it, you know, put some lure on there. But I just, in my mind, I figure that's just a bait or a lure. Mm-hmm. But you put it back in there and then just set your trap off in front of it with the wind blowing off of that across your trap so that they work up into it and they get caught in your trap before they reach the bait. But even if they grab it, you know, they're still standing on the location of where you're at.
Sure.
But they work really well. You know, I mean, Dave Virtue uses them a lot out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not the M44s, but the grab and die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they call them grab and dies, because, you know, it used to, they're still going to grab them and die because they're going to be in the trap, hopefully. But originally it was grab and die because they grab them and, you know, the cyanide, they were going to die.
I think one of the baits that is most overlooked a lot of times is liquid bait. So could you talk a little bit about liquid bait and, you know, what are the advantages of it? How do you use it?
One The first thing that pops into mind is a lot of the Southern guys with the, you know, if you've never been down to the South and met a fire ant before, then, you don't know what you're missing. They're a lot of fun. But you put your, you know, the Southern guys will put their bait down in the hole and they come back and it's all gone from the fire ants hauling it off. So the good thing with that is with a liquid bait is for the, like the Southern people is, you know, you can just take some sheep's wool, stick it down in there and squirt, you know, squirt and go. And, you know, it's a fast system. That's the other reason people like, a lot of, liquid baits is because, you know, you make your set, you just squirt it down the hole, throw your gland lure on there and, you know, you're gone. You know, you're not opening a container and everything. It's, you know, just a squirt and go. I know, like, talking to Zagger, he really likes, you know, a squirt and go.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, if you have to refresh a set. For me, that's when I love it most, is just to refresh. Got a big rain or, you know, it's been a little bit of time. And you can just hop out, just touch it up with that and get back in the truck.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think, like you said, a lot of the liquid baits are overlooked. I mean, you know, the amount of bait that we sell compared to what we sell in liquid baits isn't even close. But, you know, it's like Dirt Nap. I mean, you know, I mean, they come awesome. they come into that awesome. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, Nick Ernie, I mean, he used that all the time. We seen him use it and. You know, I mean, he was going catch for catch with us, and we were using, you know, Soul Taker and
Heartbreaker. Thank you.
You know, I mean, and he was the only thing he was using was Dirt Nap, and you know, I mean, he was going catch for catch with us.
No, I just bottled a ton of it up today, and thinking such a great bait.
Yeah. And when it first came out with that, it wasn't winterized. You know, years ago, I was like. This is stupid. I mean, why wouldn't you winterize it? So then, you know, we winterize it. So, you know.
Well, same with, like, Clint's Liquid Mice. It's a similar concept and similar liquid bait as well.
Yeah.
Him being in the South, he didn't need anything winterized. And that didn't work so well up here, so.
Well, that's one thing with, you know, it's like, we use Clint like as an example, but you know, there's a lot of Southern lure makers. But the thing is, you know, if you're in Southern Tennessee and Georgia, I mean, you're like they're never gonna get the weather that we're having outside, you know. And you know, it's like you know, now I know what's in Clint's and stuff. I mean, a lot of the stuff, if I was gonna use up here, it would have froze. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
So. You know, I mean, and when we got the stuff from Clint and brought it up here, some of it did freeze.
And there's still a lot of it that's frozen out there.
Yeah, from the original stuff. Mm. But, you know, I mean, we've, you know, worked on it and trying to get stuff where it's, you know, it
more accommodating.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Even for our own personal use.
Yeah.
You when know, we use this stuff, you know, like Coon Collector is not a winterized solution right now. I mean, so, you know, just trying to generalize it.
Yeah. But, because, I mean, a lot of times you can, you know, do different things without, you know, you don't have to change anything. You know, we're not changing none of the formulas or nothing. You know, I mean, we paid Clint pretty good for it. So, we want everything the way Clint had it. But, you know, there's things you can do to make it where, you know, it's winterized instead of not winterized. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, after all that bait talk... What is your favorite bait? If you had to pick one.
I'm thinking of different areas where we trap and stuff. And I would say Soul Taker would be my favorite. That's generally the one.
That's always in your bag.
Yeah.
And it always ends up on your hands.
I would say Todd is the other one. That's what we call time of death. You know, we write it on the board, Todd. But that's a mouse meat one. Those are... Probably my two.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's switch over
to lure. What's your favorite bait?
Heartbreaker.
See, out of your baits, my favorite one would be Revenge.
Revenge is really good. Yes.
That would I that's my favorite one out of yours.
And I think it goes, you know, it goes, it ties back to so many memories of using the bait relating to your catches with it, I think.
Yep.
And so, cuz what do they say? Your nose is connected to your memories and smells remind you of things. And I don't know, I just think of Heartbreaker. I think of catching, you know, coyotes in Louisiana. That was so much fun. And things like that.
So. No, I have that.
All right, well, let's switch over to lures. There are so many different lures out there.
Mm-hmm.
So many different options. I mean, just even in the three companies that we own, there's a ton of lures. And I know it's overwhelming for people. They come to the convention and they see our table is just so many lures. So I just kind of wanted to dive into a little bit more, like, about lures. You know, how do people use them? How do they pick them out? What are they looking for? And that kind of thing. So I'll let you take it away from here on whatever direction you want to go with this, but
without getting too far down in the weeds, the main thing is I want, you know, what you have initially is, like, I want the bait, like we were talking about, and then I want a good let's say we're trapping coyotes. I want a good coyote gland lure, like Cryptic. It smells like a coyote, you know, and, you know, that's what you want, is something, a coyote gland lure that smells like a coyote, because you're recreating, like we were talking about with the dirt hole set, you know, that he hid something there. The same way with the red fox or anything else. And then what you have is you'll have, like, that, where you have the smell of the animal, but, you know, you, as a lure maker, that you went out and added something else in there, and, you know, and the animals reacted to that, you know, in a certain way that you liked, and you started having success with it, and, you know, so, you know, it would be, or you have the 100% pure, and then you have some that are mixed with, have something else added. You know, it's like a coyote matrix lure. You know, a lot of times what you do is, you know, you'll have the coyote gland, and then, and the matrix is, you know, used, it can be used anytime, but it's really used during breeding season. So, you, what you add is, like, lovage in there or something like that, you know, not something like that, lovage, and, you know, it makes it a you know, what they call a matrix lure. And so, you know,
I mean, would you say, like, gland lures would be the most important lure as far as coyote trapping?
I would say
right at the top.
Yes, because, you know, I'm different than a lot of the other lure dealers. Where, you know, because my first thing was long calls, you know, very important. But I consider anything with skunk in it a gland lure, because skunk essence is a gland, and it's just the most powerful gland. People say, you know, just call it just a long call. But, you know, I mean, it's the same thing with a badger, or the same thing with otter or mink. You know, that is a gland lure, you know, that, so, I mean, every, you know, it, it, all of them are relevant to some form of animal reaction. So I think that, you know, if you're counting skunk essence in as a gland, like I am, then yes, I think that it would be the most important.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see, what other kinds of lures do we have? Maybe talk about...
Well, you have, you know...
So...
You have, you know, like the gland lures, and, you know, you have the food lures that we talked about already, and then you have your long calls.
What about a curiosity lure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, where they don't want to eat it. It's just, you know, something where they've run down this road, you know, but it spikes something in them that makes them want to stop and, you know, check it out, you know, and...
So would you use that in along with a bait, or could you use it by itself, or
you could but I most of the time wouldn't. If I'm going to use like something as just a curiosity lure on a canine, I'm just going to use that pretty much by itself, you know. Then they're stopping specifically for that. Especially in testing, I never would put it with any, you know, you always would put it, I mean, you know this, but, you know, you wouldn't put it with anything else. You want to see what the exact reaction is to it,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I personally, you know, wouldn't put, like, a curiosity with a bait or anything like that. I mean, you just want to, you know, get them to stop. Have it, like, on a, you know, like, on a projection set, something like that, where you're just getting them to swing in there for a second. You know, and you're either trying to catch them on, hopefully catch them on the come in, or when they turn off the projection set, you know, to even get a back foot catch on them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it goes along with what you were saying as far as using bait, you're recreating something that's naturally out there. And with the curiosity lure, you're getting them to say, you know, stop and say, what is that?
Yeah.
That's intriguing.
Yeah.
Let's investigate that.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not a smell that's going to hurt me or is danger to me, but, you know, it smells like just interesting. Yeah. I don't know. That's kind of how I see it in my mind, yeah. as far as the approach and how to place my trap and put the lure, and it's just to get them close enough to be interested.
Yep, yeah, I would say that's 100% what I think.
And so, you know, maybe talk about, like, some lures are just predator lures. I guess that goes along with, like, a predator food lure, or predator call lure, or, you know, something like that. But with a food lure, you wouldn't use that with bait, or would you use that with bait? Or both.
The predator lures, a lot of times what they are is they're multiple species, not all of them, but some of them, they're like, you might have bobcat glands, fox glands, coyote glands, all mixed together, you know, and
like musky, like a predator control group musky, yep. is it's a terrible name.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I didn't know it was a great lure until we started making it. But that's exactly what musky is. It's all these different predator glands mixed together to make a great, you know, predator lure. So,
yep. No, that, I mean, that is, I mean, I didn't, when we bought Predator Control Group, I had never even heard of musky before.
Right.
We sell quite a bit of it now, but, yeah, I mean, that's it's got a shitty name.
Mm-hmm.
we almost should change the name.
I know, I'm like, it sounds like, I don't know, it like muskrat, like, in my mind. It doesn't think, sound like predator.
I always think I it's know. Like a fishing lure.
Yes, Clint, in the book, referred to them as musk glands.
Yep.
And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
All right, well, you kind of alluded to...
Well, that's like, Russ Carman had, I didn't even know this till not very long ago, but he had muskrat, I think it was a muskrat lure called Hudson Seal. And I was like, you can't even get seal oil in here. And so I was like, you know, always thought that. And I guess that's what they called the muskrats. So, you know, and the Hudson Seal's up there or something. And if that's wrong, somebody told me that at Minktoberfest, and, you know, they might have been drinking. I can't remember for sure.
And his initials were MZ.
Yeah. Yeah. It probably was Zagger. Or, I mean, MZ. MZ Hammer.
Well, talking about muskrats, maybe switch into more species-specific lures and the importance of them and that kind of thing. You know, I think of, like, an otter lure and... And the way you catch otter, I don't know. Just maybe talk a little bit about.
I think it's you know, I mean, coming up with an otter lure that actually works. It was, you know, one of the toughest ones. I mean, I tested and tested and tested and tested in Louisiana, and you know, to get them consistently to come into the lure, and me and Quinn have talked about this and. You know, he struggled with the same thing separately, and the weird thing is you know, I didn't know what he had in his, and he didn't know what I had in mine, and we never talked about, you know, what you put in them, but it's weird how through trial and error, you know, I mean, his is definitely different, but it's remarkable how close, you know, we came. You know, of the thing that it pulls in the otter. I don't know, mm-hmm. You know. So, I mean, my thing is it's always, you know, I want to be able to lure that animal in. As a lure maker, you know, I want to go out and I target that animal. And it's not like you can't catch other things. It's like, you know, using, you know, a brutal bobcat. Yeah, you can, you know. You can go out there and catch fishers on that. There's absolutely no doubt that you can go out and catch fishers on that. Was it designed to go catch fishers? No. When I designed it, I had bobcats in mind. I was chasing bobcats, trying to come up with, you know, a winter bobcat lure, and you know, and it worked really good for me. But that doesn't mean that you can't catch other animals on it.
Right.
You know. So. You know. You know, like a lot of people with cat collector, you know, a lot of people were using fish, cat collector by Predator Control Group for years to go catch fisher, you mm-hmm. know. So.
We were just talking about Dazzle today.
Yep.
I was working on an interview for the Fur Fish and Game magazine, and it was lure related topics, and we were talking about Dazzle.
Name dropper.
Well, I mean, that's it. It should be coming. I don't know. I mean, he's been after me for a long time to do this, like since August. That's embarrassing. But anyway, I finally told him I'd get it. But we were talking about baits and lures, and we were talking about Dazzle, and I knew I had the name Dazzle that I wanted a lure called Dazzle, and it just we were waiting for the right lure for the name, and so we come up with Dazzle, and in my mind this is a coyote lure, this is like the coyote lure, and we go out and we tested it, and we had the bobcat. Like it wasn't that night, because I kept looking that night like, oh, there's got to be something coming, and I was so excited. Mm-hmm. And it was that next afternoon, in the middle of the afternoon, it was daylight out, camera starts going off on my phone. And we're looking, I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's a bobcat. And the bobcat just rubbed it was like a long stick or a long branch that was laid down. It was this big sand blow. And then it had one stick, broken branch that was pointed up. And I put the lure all up and down that stick. And that cat came in and just rubbed its face all over that log, up and down that stick, up and down that branch. And then it was rolling on the ground, all over the ground. I'm like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe it. And then the other test
spot. That was in the daylight, too.
Yeah.
We had got awesome pictures of that.
Yeah, I've posted the video several times on She Trap's Facebook page. And then at the other test spot, we had a cat come in and I think it peed next to the set.
It did.
I remember. And then we had several coyotes come in too, but
yeah, one coyote came into that same set where that cat peed on it, and then mm-hmm. a red fox came in where that cat was.
Yeah.
You know.
So yeah, going back to your point that just because the label states that it is a bobcat lure, or it's, you know, a fisher lure or whatever, doesn't mean that you can't use it for other species.
No.
So.
You know, I mean, I 100% agree with that. But, you know, because you got new trappers on here, the thing is you don't want to go take like a muskrat lure and go out and try and catch coyotes with it. You know, so there is a limit to what you know, can use to right. catch other species.
Absolutely. But don't put yourself in the box where, and this happens a lot of time at the convention, you know, before I came out with the Fisher lure, Barry Fisher, you know, they would come up and, oh, do you have a Fisher lure? I said, I don't like specific, but weasel lure will work. You know, the same reaction would be with the weasel lure. Oh no, it doesn't say Fisher lure on it. So, you know, don't put yourself into the box where you can't experiment, or, you know, that's how we learn is experimenting. And
I always thought, me and you've talked about it, is, you know, something fruit, because in the fall, I mean, that a lot of times that in Michigan here, that's where, you know, a lot of times we would target is where the apple trees and stuff, because them coyotes are right in there and they're eating them apples, you know, but, you know, I mean, the thing is, you know, being honest about it, I mean, most trappers are not going to buy a fruit-based. They will with persimmons, but that, you know, if you start putting an apple.
I've always wanted to have an apple coyote.
I know you do.
Maddie just asked me that today. She says, what are you going to do with that apple coyote lure?
No.
Maybe we'll have to get it ready for this summer and fall.
And try it out.
Try it out.
Yeah, because that'd be something that would, you know, work better in the fall when they were just coming off of that, like I was talking about where they're coming off of the mice, you know.
Right.
You know, that's why the mice one works so good down in Texas, because they're on the mice year-round down there, you know, rabbits and mice.
Right. I just have a couple more questions. Hellfire. Hellfire, I mean, is constantly getting critiqued online. It's Hellfire, you know, Hellfire versus Gusto. Hellfire worked great for me. Hellfire didn't work for me. It's always a battle between Hellfire and whatever else. What do you have to say to people who don't like Hellfire, or have the comments that, you know, it didn't work for me, so it's not going to work for you, and or it lost its smell, you know, a lot of people say that. So talk a little bit about Hellfire.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I used, not anymore, but I used to like cringe. Somebody would put up a post and I'd be like, I know that the haters are going to come out, and some people are just haters because Hellfire has been so popular. I mean, it's one of the top sellers in the country, you know, and so there's just going to be haters regardless. You know, I mean, do some people have a legitimate complaint where, you know, the loss of smell, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, we went and got, one thing was, is we went and had, got bad caps, you know, and over the summertime, you know, it doesn't sealed off, and the skunk, just like a skunk hit on the road, you know, if it's exposed to the air, and it's going to leach off, you know, cause I mean, it's just the way it is, you know. I apologize. We got bad caps. I didn't want to get bad caps. They never made the caps right, or, you know, but we went through all kinds of caps. I was getting ready to buy the caps with, like the cone caps, and it would, for them cone caps, I wouldn't make a dime on the product. That's how frustrated I was with the caps that wouldn't lock down. And, you know, finally we found some caps that, you know, they lock right down and, you know, it stays in. So there was a period of time where some people probably had a legitimate complaint. So, you know.
Well, I mean.
And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, that they didn't have a legitimate complaint, because some of them absolutely had a legitimate mm-hmm. complaint. But I think some of them, you know, it's like me. My thing is if I go to McDonald's and I go through the drive-thru and I get down the road and I put my straw in the pop, you know, and it's flat and it's just the carbonated water, there's no syrup in it, and it's not Diet Coke. My thing is, am I going to say, well, this sucks, I, you know, wanted this with my quarter pounder, but I'm not going to say, I'm not going online on McDonald's thing and badmouth them on 20 sites. You know, I just think, you know, the owner of that company did not want this to happen. You know, I mean, he didn't want me to get a bad pop and possibly not come back there again. But, you know, the manager didn't want that. And even, you know, the shitty little kid that was working there probably didn't even want that. You know, and that's the same way with me. I don't want to give somebody a bad product. You know, I mean, my dad spent his whole life doing this. I spent my whole life doing this. And, you know, I'm not putting out a product. My thing is, a lot of people you see online where they're getting into this to make a quick buck. I never was that way, because I wanted, you know, somebody go out and use my product, catch something, and reorder. That's the only way that you can survive over years, is to have the repeat customers and a good reputation of putting out good products. And, you know, and most of the people that have made it a long time, like Tim Caven, for one, you know, I mean, he's unapproachable on how great his products are and the quality that he puts in. And, you know, and I've always strived for that same thing where, when I'm dead and gone, I want people to say, you know, I put out good products and they felt they got their money's worth, you know. So, yeah, I mean, does some people have a legitimate complaint? Absolutely, they did. The ones that got a hold of me, I tried to make it right, and then one guy, I made it right, and he still went on there, and I seen him complaining, mm-hmm. you know.
Right, or the fact that they didn't catch anything. Well, my goodness, that could be a million different reasons why it did not work for them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
The thing is the people, the only ones that I'll really criticize is the ones that look stupid, is to say it doesn't work, the Hellfire doesn't mm-hmm. catch anything. There's too much shit out there, too many people that has caught too much fur on Hellfire for them to, mm-hmm. I mean, if you put up that comment, you look like a complete idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's one of the top selling and reselling lures in the whole country. So for that to happen, you don't catch animals on something and for years, it stay, you know, in the top few lures sold in the country.
Right. Or, I mean, it just, I don't know.
But some people, you know, what people don't understand is, a lot of times when you have something, a popular lure, what they have is you have somebody on Facebook that, you know, makes some lures, and they got a friend, and then the friend goes around and you watch on the different things, and the friend will go out and criticize everybody's lures, because the thing is they think that that's the way to help their friend. But the thing is, that doesn't help their friend, because then especially when the lure maker does it, because what happens is you'll get somebody like Minnesota, or, you know, say Cumberland's, who I know, or you get people that are friends, and they see somebody saying, well, Dunlap's an asshole. Well, they know I'm not. So the thing is when you call them up and you say, well, you want to handle my lure? Yeah, no. You know, that's not the way to make it, is being negative and trying to tear everybody else down. I mean,
I couldn't agree more.
I know you couldn't. I don't get in pissing matches with people on Facebook.
No, I mean, it's not I'm worth
more
it, but,
real.
I'm more
real world, where I just call up the dealers and say, you know what? You see what this guy's doing? You know, so, I mean,
sometimes people see, you know, the controversial topic and they just feel they have to put their two cents in.
Yeah.
Whether they have experience or not, they probably never have even bought a bottle of Hellfire. And they're going to go on and say something negative and never have bought it yet because they want to be a part of a controversial topic. Because
I've only had one person ever walk up to the booth and say anything. One. Now, all these people that say all this shit on Facebook, none of them go to conventions. They got all this shit to run their mouth about. You know? I'm getting too fired up.
I
care about the legitimate customers, the haters, and the people that just want to be negative. I don't care about.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to find that line. You know, because nobody bought any of, they all bought it from me, but nobody purchased it from me, you know.
Right, so you don't know if it was sold to a wholesaler it's been on their shelf for 3, 5, 6 years, or even longer. We don't even know.
No.
Or they bought it on Amazon, or they bought it on eBay, or they bought it from somebody else. We don't know. When it leaves our shop, we have no idea where it's going to end up.
No.
Or where it did go. We have no idea and we have no control. And we're not the ones selling on Amazon. We're not selling on eBay. No. We're not selling on these sites.
We don't sell anywhere.
So we have no idea.
No.
So.
No. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they, you know, left it out in the direct sunlight and, you know, just set it out in the sunlight all summer long. I mean, I have no idea. It's got my name on it, so I'm responsible.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But.
All right, well, switching gears to a topic that I know you have more memories, fond memories of, talk about your favorite lure and why it's your favorite.
Well, I would, Big Pile, I would say, for some reason, I really like Cryptic, but my favorite all-time lure is Big Pile, because, you know, you can take that Big Pile out and you can catch any animal out there with Big Pile. You know, I mean, is it going to be the very best lure to use in that situation? No, but, you know, I mean, I've caught coyotes on it. I've caught fox. My dad has, you know, and, you know, my dad came up with that lure formula and, that one is, the one that, you know, is like close to my heart.
Mm.
You know, I am more emotional, you know, involved than, you know, some of the other ones. But
I mean, this is how sentimental Jeff is with his Big Pile. In the lure shop, there's this box. And it sits on the second shelf. And it's this box. And he has inside that box the ingredients to Big Pile. A majority of the ingredients to Big Pile. And the same ingredients are on the shelf that you can reach with your hand. But he has these ingredients in this box. And I say, why do you have them in this box? He says, this box is my dad's box. It's like a Kibbles and Bits box. Like, it is just a cardboard box. And he says, well, this is the box that my dad had. So, anyway, every time he makes a Big Pile, he thinks of his dad,
yep.
Right, when you make it. And tell him about what your dad said when you named it.
He said, you have all these, you know, really awesome names on all these baits and lures, and you give Big Pile that stupid name. He said, you couldn't come up with a better name than that. Now it just seems natural. It's Big Pile, and, you know, but, you know, when I was putting it on the market, it was, you know.
Beaver lure.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
The name of it on the top was Big Pile, and then it was Beaver Lure.
It's all confusing.
It's confusing to me, and I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I was thinking, but he hated the name. I like the name now. It fits it good,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, but Yeah, he hated the name Big Pile.
Mm-hmm.
I had, speaking of Beaver Lure, I had something that really meant a lot to me happened. I hadn't even told you about this yet. I hadn't forgot about it. I just hadn't told you. And you know Leon Smith? Out to Minktoberfest.
Yep. When we were late to the thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Anyways, he sent me a message, asked me to call him. And he said, when I pass away, he says, don't hurry me into the box. But he said, when I pass away, my son and somebody else are going to make a beaver lure. They're going to put me, my ashes, in the beaver lure. And I want them to send you a bottle of it. And would you use it in, when you're, you know, you put my ashes out there in the beaver ponds, will you think about me?
Oh, wow.
So I thought that was pretty cool that Leon, because, I mean, Leon's, he's done it all. I mean, he's above reproach on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how I feel about Leon.
Mm-hmm.
I really respect him a lot. Mm-hmm. And, so I think that was one of the coolest things that ever happened, being in, mm-hmm. in the trapping.
Mm-hmm.
I always have cool stuff happen, but, mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I told him, yep, there he is again. Leon wins again. He's with Jesus, and I'm here having to deal with the cold.
Yep. And that'll be the set that something crazy happens, because that's just Leon's life.
Yep.
He's told me some crazy stories about him on the trap line. I guess it's not going to stop when he's gone.
No. Leon's nightmares continue.
Yeah, they continue.
He's a hell of a storyteller. If you ever get a chance to go listen to one of Leon's demos or meet Leon Smith, I mean, he's a hell of a trapper, hell of a man, and a hell of a storyteller.
You should do an interview with him.
I should do one. I should mm-hmm. get him on the phone and do one. Yeah, Clint, when you can go back in Trapping Radio archives, and Clint had done one, but I'll try and get hooked up with Leon. And the cool thing with Leon is every year, he calls on my birthday and wishes me a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how he knows my birthday.
I don't know.
Well, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That he calls up and wishes me a happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we covered a lot.
My brain is numb.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that, I've had said this before multiple times, but if any of our products, Dunlap lures, that you use, I really do appreciate, anything you purchase. I mean, there's a lot of lure dealers out there, a lot of people selling lure and baits, and we really do appreciate everything that everybody buys off of us. And the friends we've made in this industry, and I mean,
I love to see everybody's pictures when you catch something, and send us your catch pictures, because we like that. It feels like I was, a part of it, by bottling the lure, bottling the bait, and then you guys go out and catch something with it and send me the picture. Like, I just feel like, it's a good feeling when you send the pictures and stuff.
I like seeing all the pictures and stuff. And so, if you send us a picture and you don't want to post it or something, put on there, hey, this is just for you or something, so we don't post it. But one thing that was really cool that somebody put up one time and I seen was... a real nice guy down to Australia uses Hellfire, and he caught the dingoes. I think there was three or four of them in a row, and that was just awesome to see. Where, he'd use Hellfire. I bottled it. It was something in my mind that I thought I liked and came out with it, and trappers liked it, and then a guy all the way in Australia liked it, mm-hmm. and
it makes you feel like you had a part in the catch, just a small part.
Because Alpena, Michigan's a hell of a long... I mean, I don't even know if you can get from Alpena, Michigan to Australia, so, I mean, it's a you know, a long ways. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Yep. We got a good life. Mm-hmm. Most people, say, you know, you don't realize what you got till it's gone. I realize, you know, how lucky my life is, and, you know.
Even amidst all the stink.
Yep. Yep. Get aggravated, and I just think about it, and they, and basically everybody we deal with, pretty much, other than family, is a trapper. That's why, something to do with trapping or a trapper. Pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, should we wrap it up?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for joining us, guys.